Are you ready for the Low Blows Network? Every Wednesday on the Low Blows Network, the Low Blows team are at hand to break down, analyze, and make fun of all things pro wrestling. Hosted by former pro wrestler Rick Nash.
I think the only reasonable thing we can do now is tear John Cena heel.
Selfie with me fucking dog.
Banned from Nigeria. I will be talking to the government tomorrow.
YouTube star Corporate King.
This elephant has four legs. Joe Ross has four legs. Joseph Stalin, if he had two more legs.
Bonesaw rips off his shirt, yeah? And says, Chuck your law. Big dirty toy for
And the queen of Irish wrestling, Katie Harvey.
I want one to sign, just CM
I'm
Punk.
I'm so embarrassed. CM Punk.
It's Low Blows. Bravo!
I'm in a really good mood now. Corporate Keane was showing us pictures of his dog, Toby, before we went on air. That we should do that every week. You just take a new picture of Toby and then just show us, like, right before we go on air.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea.
That's, yeah, I'm totally up for that. Anyway, guys, congratulations to the Kansas City Chiefs, who beat the San Francisco 49ers after a huge fourth quarter collapse by the latter side. An absolute embarrassment. They were winning, like, 20-10. And absolutely dominating, and then they gave up three touchdowns in a row. It's basically like they were winning, say, 4-2 in football, and then ended up losing 6-4, like, in the last 20 minutes. Like, it was absolutely nuts. But, guys, as we get kicked off here, on another edition of Low Blows, Rick Nash, Katie Harvey, Corporate Keane back in the house as always. Guys, what are the worst cases in wrestling of someone having someone beat and then blowing it all?
I don't think this is a person per se. It's, I don't know why I said per se, it's not a person, but like remember when WWE like were dismantling the patriarchy and they had like the Evolution pay-per-view and the Mae Young Classics and they signed all these fantastic female wrestlers and they got rid of the Divas title and, you know, like they're called superstars now and they got equal pay and all this WrestleMania main events and then they went to Saudi Arabia.
Yeah
that kind of blew a lot of goodwill, didn't it?
Yeah,
that kind of just really took it all down a peg.
Oh, that's a very true one. That's a very true one.
It's really sad when you say it out like that, isn't it?
Yeah, that was it. It was like, and then wrestling has felt weird since. Like.
Yeah, and they mentioned Saudi Arabia again. They're going back again soon, are they? Because they start the build again, and it just popped it back into my head.
So. WrestleMania season as well. Like, it's a weird time to piss off your fan base during your
I know, because I get
year.
Like, they start announcing this deadly stuff and getting me hyped, and then I'm like, I can't watch it, though.
I do, anyway. Like,
I don't.
It's interesting. It's like something completely different.
Can't do it.
I'm not supporting it. I just watch it. It's kind of hate watching. It's fun. Like, it's
hate watching.
Yeah, that's the thing. Have you never hate watched anything?
No. Oh. See, it's like an awful waste of my time.
That's how most people like on Twitter experience WWE. They're watching it because they hate it and they like tweeting about how much they hate it.
But I like WWE, so I watch the parts I like Raw and SmackDown.
I do as well, but these shows I kind of hate watch. I'm going to go quite similar. No offense, Katie. I'm not just getting a jab in, but WCW had WWE on the ropes. Was that what you were going to say?
No.
Okay, Grant. Because we were worried we were going to say the same thing. WCW had WWE on the ropes. The NWO reinventing the game, coming up with truly original programming. And then they had one bright idea. The final puzzle in the jigsaw, or the final piece of the jigsaw. This is what's going to kill the WWE off. We are going to hire their head writer Vince Russo, and that was that. That was literally the end. Everyone was like, and here's the thing as well. Vince Russo, like, WWE Hall of Famer. Do you know what I mean? They'd have documentaries about Vince Russo, like, as well. Like, he had his wrestling career made. He's like the genius behind the Attitude Era, the most successful era in professional wrestling history. And then he went out by himself and ruined everything, and now he's a random Twitter guy. So WCW and Vince Russo, I'm going to go with. They had them against the ropes and just fucked it all up. Corporate Keane, worst case of someone having a summer beat and then blowing it.
Oh, man, the first half of the 2010s,
TNA had WWE beat clean, had the floor wiped with them. They had Shannon Moore, Jesse Neal. They had the Aces and Eights. They had Ezekiel Jackson and Snitsky back at one point. They had everything they could possibly want.
You're staring at Katie like, you know, like these are Ezekiel Jackson, obviously.
Yeah. Ezekiel Jackson's a tank, man. I'd love they brought him back.
I'm just saying, you're directing it specifically at Katie. You're like, you know what I mean?
Well, I actually really loved TNA in that era. Like,
yeah,
I was like a diehard then.
Oh, really?
Oh, I'm a bandwagoner. Like, it was TNA then. It's AEW now.
Yeah, actually, wait.
I have no loyalty.
There's a trend there.
But yeah, they had the ball and they just smashed it on the ground.
Yeah. Kind of sad after. Can you just show us another picture of your dog?
Oh, I'm sorry. That's ah, yeah, go on.
Yeah, I'm happy now. Yeah. There we go. Guys, busy week coming up. We are going to, after a few mental weeks of wrestling, the Royal Rumble, Wrestle Kingdom, all of that out of the way, now we're going to switch our focus back locally. Aw, he's adorable.
He's laughing in that one.
We're going to switch our attention locally because it was OTT Contenders was this week. Fight Factory episode 13 is next week. We're going to be talking about what's going on the Irish scene. We're also going to wrap up New Japan backs, resetting the scene after Wrestle Kingdom and trying to mark that they're kind of set the tone for the rest of the year, and so much more still to come. Katie Harvey, of course, made her Pro Wrestling Eve debut. We're going to hear how that went and so much more. So, guys, we're going to get kicked off, as we always do, by picking the news stories that grabbed their attention this week and giving our lightning hot takes on them, because it's time to get this show on the road. It's time for
Hot Takes.
Hot takes, news stories of the week, starting with Corpigan.
Yeah, actually, I just realised this isn't actually a hot take at all. I just don't understand triple threat tag rules. Basically, there was a triple threat tag at OTT. More than Hype, Young Guns, and
a third team.
A third team. It'll come back to me.
What two teams did you say?
More than Hype, Young Guns, and...
True Pros?
Yes, that's who it was.
Like, you know them.
Yeah. I'm very tired. Anyway, there was basically... I just don't understand the triple threat tag rules, because there's three teams, yeah? But in the ring at any given time, there's two wrestlers. Why?
Because that's the rules.
But why are they the rules? Why isn't
it
a triple threat?
Because if they were all in, it would be a tornado tag match or Lucha Rules match. No, Lucha Rules is where there's no tags.
There's no tags. Tornado Rules is where there's no tags as well.
But
and that's like more falls count anywhere. But if there's three people in, there's six people in a three way
yeah.
tag.
Does it make no sense if there was one person from each team? Then like it'd just be a weird, awkward double triple threat.
If you had one person representing each team, they can tag in and tag out whenever they need to. It makes more sense. Why, if you're in the match, why would you tag out? Why would you allow the other team to be in the match?
Yeah, that's very true.
It's usually a lot of blind tags, isn't it?
Yeah, but. Well, like, I don't get it.
Why would you agree not to start the match? Because if you don't get an opportunity to play tag?
And why would you even honor the rules? It's a no DQ anyway.
Oh, yeah.
It's a triple threat.
Oh, yeah.
I don't understand it. And my hot take. Oh, it is a hot take.
Yeah, Foxy, we need some
Foxy. My hot take is they should change the triple threat tag rules. Foxy, weigh in on this and let me know if... I don't know, it's right or wrong.
Foxy actually got in touch and answered one of our questions, and I forgot to bring it up on the air. So I'm going to actually do clarification for anyone who's looking for loose ends that we haven't tied up. Foxy got on when we were talking about what the Freebird rule was and can you do it with a stable. Foxy said, for me, the Freebird rule basically means that any combination of a group or faction can defend tag team belts, but only when it comes to tag wrestling. This does not, with a capital N, apply to singles titles. There you go. That's tied that loose
yeah,
end up.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Yeah, that's good.
I feel like we should have a little name for that segment, because I'm constantly asking Foxy to clarify things.
I'm definitely up for that. And actually, that reminds me. Because the other day, like yesterday on... like, this was very last minute. We have an announcement to make. And I wasn't sure where we fit it, so we're going to get it in now. Speaking of a friend of Foxy, family member of Foxy as well, Terry Thatcher... has announced that, we announced last night that he's going to debut a brand new podcast on the Low Blows Network. It's going to be called Human After All. And, well, instead of kind of giving you a synopsis of it, we're just going to give you a little brief clip of it right here, right now. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is the first ever podcast of Terry Thatcher's. It's called Human After All. Hello, Declan Byrne. It's not Terry Thatcher. It's me, Rick. The person who said that I'd get you back last week when you tried to make me go viral against Ricochet. I told you I would get you back when you least expected it, and this is me getting you back. All right? Try make a show of me in front of everyone. Is this too far? I don't care. No, Declan, I told you I'd get you back. This is it. Payback's a bitch. So there is no Terry Thatcher podcast.
I was genuinely excited.
Yeah, we had Terry Thatcher on for the Game of Thrones podcast. I was like, man, yeah, he'd actually be good at this. Man, I'm very disappointed. Why'd you do that to me?
I play dirty. You try make a show of me. You come at the king. You best not miss.
Well,
there's no Terry Thatcher.
Declan's still winning 1-0 as far as I'm concerned. That fly is going to eat your croissants. Just saying.
I have a bag of croissants at the table.
And he's just chilling there. Can you feel him, please?
And I haven't forgotten you, Katie Harvey, either.
Well,
as well.
What did
by
I
the way,
do?
Last week, if you didn't listen to Ask Low Blows, Katie Harvey has fanfic out there. We know that we determined that that her username has the word MCR in there. Her first name is obviously Katie Harvey, so you can search any iterations of that. And she was born in 1989. Get Googling, guys. We want to find this fanfic. I'm going to get you all
fucking back.
You'll
never find it.
That went ridiculously viral by the end.
Okay? Oh, yeah. It was
yeah, it was like Ricochet didn't acknowledge it, but like the effects of him acknowledging it were that people would see it. So it ended up, you know what I mean?
I really enjoyed it. Like, my phone was hopping for that treat.
It's old mine!
I couldn't believe it. Like, it was so random. It was so,
I was in work, and I was like, because we can't have our phones when we're on the floor in work. So I'm like, at any stage, this could get out of control. I don't know what I'm coming back to my phone there. So fuck his boat. I'm getting his boat back. There you go. Declan, please. I hope you didn't cry. That made me feel really bad. But there's no Terry Thatcher podcast.
I can't believe
man, I'm really
that.
Disappointed. Oh, actually, yeah.
I even got Terry involved. Like, I said, could we say you've got a podcast?
But like, you didn't get Linda involved.
Oh no, she nearly blew it after all. To be fair, I still want Terry and Linda. I know they're busy now, 2 weeks away. We wish them the best of luck, by the way, from having their second child. So 2 weeks away, so they're kind of busy right now, but I'd totally be up for Terry and Linda having a podcast. But it's not happening now.
I got so mean.
Yeah. Fuck you, Declan.
Wow.
He got too excited, though. I started having like a moral crisis around like 4
p.m.
No,
I think
today.
You've committed. I think you need to delete this joke and get Terry to record a podcast.
I did. I DM'd him today and I was like, this might have gone too far. Do you want a podcast? Anyway, moving on. That didn't work at all. Anyway, guys, moving on. Take two. There we go. We got there in the end. I'll go next. I want to talk about a story that kind of caught Twitter this week. And it's something that really bothers me. And it happens a lot from wrestlers. Naomi basically got criticized on the Wrestling Observer podcast hosted. I don't know what the exact name of it, because I know they have about 15 different shows. Not that I'm judging. Please keep subscribing to the Low Blows Network. Brian Alvarez hosts it. And then it was him chatting with his mates with one of their friends or someone randomly asleep in the background. Or
he was dead.
He was
passed away.
But also, like, it cut back to him at times and his eyes are open and he's just staring at the ceiling. Like, not looking at anything. He's just looking upwards with open eyes. It was very... It was
like he was locked in the room with them and had to put up with them every day. It's like his life, you just can't handle it.
I don't watch wrestling. they're talking, and you've probably seen the clip. If you haven't, we have it on the Low Blows Twitter, so check it out. They're basically having the same conversation that we had on Low Blows last week about did some of Naomi's spots make sense. And look, they went a bit far. They were having the chats and stuff like that, but then Naomi came out and put out like a kind of self-righteous defensive tweet, and it was also part of the quote tweet, which is something you always have to watch out for with wrestlers, because here's the thing. Wrestlers... And, like, if you've never been on the receiving end of this, I have. AJ Styles, it is to us. Well documented, but I don't give a fuck. I think this shit's funny, like. But wrestlers have, like, millions of followers, okay? Especially WWE wrestlers. So whatever they say, they're going to have like probably 10,000 people who just want to be acknowledged by them. So will agree. They could post like the most racist, offensive shit, and they'd still have at least 1,000 people being like, "Good point there, bud." And then like, "Oh, that other person is so stupid. Like this tweet, please." So you're gonna like have someone whose phone will go hopping like mine after last week with Ricochet. On the other side, getting absolutely torrentially abused, and this one ended up catching on more than everyone else, to the point where other wrestlers are coming in having their hot takes and this and that and the other. And like, her point was stupid. Her point was absolutely, like, to be fair, it wasn't a good point. I'm not calling her stupid, for the record, before someone quote tweets this, but I'm saying her point didn't make sense, because she's like, "How dare you call me stupid and a motherfucker?" And like, I hate to break it to you, but they weren't. Like, I don't like these guys. Brian Alvarez annoys the fuck out of me. Do you know what I mean? He's like Diet Dave Meltzer. Do you know what I mean? He's really biased in everything he says. Like, he starts from a position of everything AEW does is amazing and everything WWE does is shit. So, like, I'm not even defending him. I'm not defending him because I like him. But, like, they weren't mocking you. They weren't saying you were stupid. They weren't saying you were acting as that, like thinking in that moment. They were saying your character looks stupid. That's the point. They're saying the person you're portraying in that moment when you're performing looked stupid. And that's the point. And here's the thing. It's an arguable point. Like we said, we disagreed, I think, in the last week. But like, we came across where it's like, I was making the exact same point, but you guys were saying, but it was cool. And I was like, yeah, I suppose I can forgive it. I'm not really mad at it. They went a bit further with it, but so what? Like, who cares? Like, Naomi, check your bank balance. You still win. You win over these guys with their whose friend doesn't even want to be in the room with them. Do you know what I mean? You win. You win the game of life here. But also as well, I think wrestlers need to, like, part of the job, is taking this, is giving up your freedom, especially the higher you get when you get to WWE and so on. I have a bit more sympathy for, say, indie wrestlers who get, like, absolutely, like, you know, blasted or criticized online, because they're not earning a lot of money, they're putting a lot into it, and they're taking a risk on themselves, and they're not getting that necessarily reward for being so widely spoken about on Twitter and whatnot. If it's, like, it's a dick move, for example, if you take the piss out of a trainee wrestler or someone who hasn't a lot of experience and needs to get those reps because they're probably working for little to nothing, do you know what I mean? And to slate them is horrible. But with WWE, these guys are getting like six-figure paydays, and part of what you get paid for when you're famous is giving up your privacy to be a product that is consumed by mass media and may get criticized and may have your private life speculated about. It reminds me of that Don Draper quote, if anyone knows what Madman, and like where he turns around and he's literally like, that's what the money's for. That's what it is for. So if you're happy to accept that, and if you want the adulation that comes with this, criticism is another part of this. And this wasn't harsh criticism. So to then use that position that you're blessed to have, even though I think Naomi's talented, like we sung her praises last week on the show, and I stand by that, but like she is still blessed to have this platform, to use that to then try bully people, I think is scummy. And a lot of wrestlers will do it because they're thin-skinned. And they're like, and to take it personally as well, like for me, it makes her look small time. And I always bring up an example of this is how pros act. So that's small time from Naomi. But do you know Ryan Johnson? You know Ryan Johnson, director. Knives Out is the movie.
Oh,
recently.
Yeah.
He did Star Wars, The Last Jedi, okay? Absolutely savaged online originally because he went away from the traditional Star Wars type of movie and did a kind of darker movie. A lot of people love it. It's my second favorite Star Wars ever. A lot of people hate it too, and it's their least favorite. But he never addressed the criticism of it online. He never fought back. He never decided to tweet about haters or anything like that. And then it was only like 2 or 3 years later. It was only like recently in the build-up to The Rise of Skywalker, and he's promoting Knives Out, where he was asked about it. And he's like, look, people can have their opinions. That's totally fair. Star Wars isn't mine. My art isn't mine once I put it out into the world. It's yours, and you get to have an opinion of it. As far as I'm concerned, I got to make a Star Wars movie, and that's the coolest fucking thing ever. And I'm so happy, and I can never, because I'm such a Star Wars geek and I got to make a movie and I'm proud of it, I can never look back on that as a negative time. But if you don't like it, that is totally your right, and I respect that, and I won't try and argue with that about you. And I'm like, that's a pro. That's why a guy gets to make a Star Wars movie and gets to that level because he's like, I'm going to be above all of this criticism. I'm going to let people like comment on my art. I'm going to realize that it's not mine, and then let them have their say. And here's the thing as well. Last point. Wrestling media helps wrestlers. That kind of Twitter content gets you engagement. Even though it mightn't always be positive, sometimes the negative stuff is the stuff that gets people talking. But it also makes people on the flip side think, people are talking about WWE. They're not talking about Into the Fire or NWA show that was on Friday. Hard times. They're talking about WWE, so I need to watch the WWE show to know what's part of the conversation. That's part of it, and you need to learn to work the media game. Wrestlers who work the media game. I say as Katie Harvey on a wrestling podcast here. You know, someone who, like, you know, embraces the media side of it, and it's and as a result, you've got a lot of goodwill from people. People like you and stuff because you're open and you're honest and you do that properly. But I think wrestlers need to learn how to embrace it and make it work for them rather than rail against it because they're thin skinned, because all they do is look small time. But other opinions may apply. So, your own thoughts. Am I missing something here? Am I getting it wrong?
I think there is a very, very fine line, because I agree with what you're saying about like putting art out there, because I've talked about it about my own wrestling. When I put a match out there to be criticized, that's absolutely fine. You can love it, you can hate it, you can critique it. But then when it crosses a line into personal, I don't care how much money in the world you're getting paid, I think you're a dickhead if you cross that line. So, yeah, like I didn't see the Naomi comments, so I can't really comment. But like, there is a very fine line between, I think, what people should criticize and what they shouldn't criticize.
What do you think about people getting dogpiled on? Like, are you for or against that? Oh, okay.
Firmly against it.
So this comment was the exact same conversation we had, except at one stage they're like, you stupid motherfucker, what are you doing? And that was the comment she picked up on. And she's like, how dare you call me a stupid motherfucker? And it's like,
but hang on, they did call her a stupid motherfucker.
But they're
then.
Not calling her, they're calling her character.
Well, but her Twitter is her character, is it not?
Yeah, she's pretty much like herself. I would get tick at that.
Really?
Yeah, I probably would.
You'd get tick if you were told we're gonna do a Kofi spot with you.
Yeah.
So here's what we're gonna do. And then if people reacted badly to that and didn't like it, and then they were talking about your character, and then they're like, why didn't she just walk back up the steps? Or why didn't she hop on one foot across over to the guardrail? Why did she not do it that way? Look at how bad she looks, WWE. She looks like, you stupid motherfucker, just do this instead. Like, if I'm...
So is that the exact context?
That's the point that they're making, yeah. If I'm like... They're not saying that she made the Royal Rumble. She didn't agent the Royal Rumble match. And they don't think that. They're not making that point.
No, but did they say it in that context, like... I don't know. I think I have
movie.
To hear it.
It's like a movie. It's on Low Blow's Twitter. So, and guys, by the way, tweet me in and tell me what you think as well, if you like. But like, it's like a movie. It's like you're looking at a character's decision that they're making, and you go, you stupid bastard, don't go in that door, the killer's in that door. You're not saying it about like the actress or the actor.
I think it's the swearing that aggravates me. I think that's what it
their
is.
Their tone is real kind of like arrogant. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, their tone is very like, you stupid motherfucker. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I don't like the guys and I don't like their podcast, but I'll fight to defend our
dead
right
friend leg. In the background. I just can't stop thinking about it. Like, this whole conversation, I'm just thinking in my head, like, him on the couch, just like, help me.
How dare they slag Naomi?
Yeah, like, you're probably right in that, like, she's such a big star, she shouldn't be responding to it. But I think it's that human emotion of, you can get 20 compliments, but if you hear one negative, yeah, that is the one that hooks on.
Yeah.
I know she probably shouldn't be rising to it, but I think for me, in that instance, it is the swearing where I'm just like, oh no, you've escalated that to a place it doesn't need to be.
Right, fair enough, fair enough. Well, next time Katie swears about someone, we're going to, and this is, and say something stupid, I'm going to be watching your every word. And I'm going to do a Naomi on you and be like, Katie, how dare you? How dare you question? Anyway, moving on. Last but not least, main event time. It is time for the Queen of Irish Wrestling. It's time for the latest Harvey's Hot Take.
So I really hope that everyone has seen the vignettes from NXT UK.
Yeah.
Yes. So Valkyrie has vignettes, and she's coming in 2 weeks to NXT UK, and this is one of the coolest things I've seen. I have not been keeping up with NXT UK, but I don't remember a lot of vignettes for people on that. I remember Ginny got some, I think, and a couple of others. Like, this means she's coming in as a big deal, so I'm very excited. Mm. But What I wanted to talk about is the reaction to the vignettes.
Okay.
So first of all, they're deadly. They're shot in Glendalough, like where Game of Thrones is shot by Sean Ryan, who we all think is deadly. And, you know, they're fantastically shot. And I think they're really cool. And apparently this is one of two vignettes. So there'll be another one on tonight, I think, with a little bit more detail, which is really cool. But some of the comments, and I never usually read the comments on these things, but obviously because, you know, it's my friend, I just think they're gas and I'm reading it. And there's a lot of positivity, right? But then there are so many comments of people just genuinely tick because they don't know who she is. Like, I mean, like, who is that? Like, I don't understand who this is. And like, getting
just
really
told
angry.
You. It's in the, they say the name the on name the screen.
And isn't that the point of a vignette? Someone that you don't know is coming. Someone new is coming. And like, and then they're like, but this isn't Taya Valkyrie. Yeah, I know. It's Eva Valkyrie. Like, it's a different person.
They explain that on the vignette.
It's very self-explanatory.
Like, you got it. You didn't get like a full look at her face, but you could get enough to know not Taya Valkyrie. And then the name confirmed it.
And then loads of people absolutely losing their shit over the actual word Aoife. Now, okay, look, a lot of people will not be able to pronounce it outside of Ireland. But like, I was talking to her about this. And it's like, is the cool thing that you're like, it's going to be that you're introducing this name to a wider audience now, like this traditional Irish strong name. And now loads of people all over the world are going to hear it.
Yeah.
I think that's so cool.
Yeah.
But so many people are getting frustrated, like, oh, they've really done her a hindrance now by like calling her something unpronounceable. It's actually a very easy to pronounce name. Aoife. Like,
you lost.
One more time.
But like, I look, you know I'm terrible at names. Like, I can't say Cain Velasquez. Like, you know what I mean?
Chris Sattlander.
Like, you know what I mean? It doesn't make me give up on those wrestlers because I can't pronounce their name.
Well, that's it. They'll never be champion.
Yeah, it's like, I can't read that name, so you know what? Fuck it. I'm just not going to become a fan because I can't talk about them. Like, it just... They'll learn to say your name.
You can say Valkyrie, can't you? Yeah, what I mean?
Yeah. That's a harder word. Like, Aoife is two syllables. Aoife. Yeah.
And then people can't understand, like, why she's Aoife Valkyrie. But it's just weird because we know her as Aoife or Valkyrie. So I just think it's a little bit jarring at first. But
now
I'm used to it.
And also as well, like, it's like they can't call her Valkyrie because, like, MCU and there is Valkyries
out
there.
You need to think of the Google appeal.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if you Google Valkyrie, she's not going to be one of your top searches.
Exactly.
But now Aoife Valkyrie, you'll get straight to her.
Yeah.
But my favorite kind of comments were just the ones that had absolutely nothing to do with anything. One guy just goes, Aoife Valkyrie looks cool. So when is Christian coming into the Hall of Fame? And I just imagine that that's someone who just sits there on every WWE post, like using it as a platform to get Christian in the Hall of Fame. And I really love that. I think that's amazing.
I know people, I'm not really friends with them anymore, but they went through a phase where they were not fans of the women's evolution. And they went through phases of, they went through a really weird phase. I hope they're not still listening. They went through a really weird phase of like doing that on wrestling videos where they're like, cool video of Finn Balor. Why are they letting women main event? And it's like, you realize that I can see this all on my Facebook and I'm really uncomfortable with you because you looked like that crazy guy. Like, that's mad.
But do you want to hear my favorite comment that I've seen on any of the videos?
Absolutely.
Okay, from Buhaki. Your position is beautiful. I was dead when I touched a plant. From above my grave, I breathed that I was breathing. That is my all-time favorite comment on any vignette ever. I have read that every day since it went up, and I cannot figure out what it's about.
I think he's a fan.
He's a fan. This is a Corporate Keen video waiting to happen. That's what this is. I cannot wait. This is great for Valkyrie and all, but I feel like this is the best thing.
How long are we going to, before we get How to Seduce Aoife Valkyrie
video? This is it. It's happening. It needs to happen. I cannot wait. Anyway, guys, let's talk about the in-ring from the week. It's time to talk about the good and the bad, starting with the bad as always. Because it's time for...
Say something stupid.
Say something stupid. Worst moments of the week. In the number six, I'm going to talk about New Japan. And again, this is one of these kind of more spoiled complaints, but it's something that I feel, and I think a lot of people will. The new beginning at Sapporo shows were this week, and there's a total of four new beginning shows. I think they've increased it from three now. And they have a tour as well where they have smaller matches decided, which you can just miss. I'm giving them a miss, like, as well. Now, I'm up to my eyes as well, so, like, I probably would watch bits of it if I could. But, like, there's... That's kind of the point. There's too much on, and there's not necessarily enough content to fill it, unfortunately. Like, so, like, these shows, because you don't get to... New Japan isn't a weekly TV show, so it's kind of like a mix between a WWE pay-per-view, a WWE Raw, and also an indie show. Do you know what I mean? Where they have to, like, sell out live shows, they have to forward storylines, and they also have to have, like, big payoff matches. And they have to do that over the space of four big shows, which leads to weird situations like Tomohiro Ishii against Evil. And, like, it wasn't a bad match, but it was just very hard for me and even the live audience there, while the lads are resting their heart out, to kind of get into it. The reason being, it's like, and the commentary kind of made this point for me, like, where when they talked on the commentary about how it's their first singles match in New Japan since August in the G1 Climax, which is absolutely insane, but it's the case. So it felt like, let's give the lads a match. Do you know what I mean? But it's the co-main event, and they don't have bigger matches to do it. And as it's the co-main event of a New Japan show, it's going 20, 25 minutes. So it's almost like less is more sometimes, where it's like, so they have more New Beginning shows next week. But, like, it's almost like have two shows that are loaded, and then, like, with these type of matches, because I wouldn't have a problem with Evil against Ishii as third or fourth match on the show. But when I'm going through shows and I'm like, what are the big matches? And then that's the co-main. And that's probably pretty much the only, like, substantial match outside the main event to look forward to. I'm like, this is a weak-ass show. And it's, again, nothing wrong with the lads, but they've no reason to fight. The feud was ham-fistedly put together. It was literally an I'm sorry for not getting them in decent matches on two nights of Wrestle Kingdom. And it was the fact that they hadn't had a singles match since August, and they want to keep them relevant. It was just... It's hard to sit through that when you know that that's the reasoning for the match, and commentary then doubles down on that. For me, even as a hardcore New Japan fan who loves Ishii and likes Evil a lot, so I'm happy to see it, but you know, you gotta give me a reason to watch, especially if you're gonna go 25. In at number 5, let's talk about something we've talked about before from AEW, and I feel like it won't be the last time we'll talk about this.
No, and I was just actually going back over there to remind myself, but basically it's Nightmare Collective Brandi Rhodes storyline. And what's happened now is there's vignettes gone up just on Twitter. I don't think they're on the main show.
I haven't seen this then.
It's her having therapy sessions. Like, full-on, like, therapy sessions. And it's kind of like American Horror Story. There's jump cuts and there's weird imagery. And there's, like, you know, her having, like a voice inside her head. Like, so the therapist will say something and then there'll be a voice in her head. And then she'll say the opposite. And it's just... It's all a bit weird and cringy, but the thing is, like, because it's only on her Twitter, it doesn't match the rest of her Twitter where she's talking about, like, tickets on sale next week for Daytona.
Here's me speaking at a very important marketing event last week.
Yeah, you know what I mean? So, like, one tweet is like very business oriented, and the next one is her in her little veil and hat sitting there with a therapist, like, you know, and these are only going out on Twitter, so it's kind of like, I don't really... Like, I don't think in this day and age you have to have a full gimmick Twitter. No. I think if you want to, that's cool. Go ahead with it. Most people, we mix our Twitter, like me, for example, but that's because my wrestling persona isn't very outlandish. It's very similar.
To you, yeah.
But she's trying to do a really outlandish character on TV, and she's trying to mesh it with, like, a more grounded businesswoman thing. And it's just all a bit weird. And I don't really know what they're doing with the Nightmare Collective. It kind of seems like they're ditching them already. So... I don't know, or they're relegating them just to Dark, because that's what all these vignettes are leading to.
Oh. I fucking hate when they, apparently, I could be dead wrong because I don't watch it, but apparently they advance storylines on Being the Elite and social media and stuff off Dynamite. And it's like...
That's pretty much what they're doing here, and I don't really get it. Like yous hadn't seen these vignettes.
Yeah, how can you expect people to watch that? You know what I mean? Like out of everyone who watches Dynamite, how many are going to watch Being the Elite? Yeah. How many are going to go onto Brandi Rhodes' Twitter? I don't even think I follow Brandi Rhodes' Twitter. I'm pretty into this whole wrestling stuff. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I just don't think it's a good idea. But, you know, maybe I could be wrong. I don't know.
It's a shame. Like, I feel bad for her in one way, because, like, I can tell. I feel like I could see the person based off, like, real interviews she's given. And it's like, she really wants to be good at wrestling. She wants to be respected within wrestling. But it's like, do you know what? Like, and she, I thought she was doing a great job at, as Cody's valet. Do you know what I mean? And she was the evil valet and this and that. I thought that was a place where she fit. But I think she's now using, I think it's becoming painfully obvious that. And she, here's the thing, right? I remember before saying, like, why is Brandy involved in AEW if she's not just Cody's wife? I think that was a really unfair comment. I regret that comment now because I'm seeing a lot of the work she's doing behind the scenes and stuff, and I think she's totally justified her place. I think she's very good at that end of things. And she's shown that over the past few months. But this isn't, she's not someone we want to see. She's not someone that we want to watch in any kind of high-profile, focused role. She's not good enough. Her commentary that you spoke about a few weeks ago with Excalibur was absolute cringe, to the point that they now have to acknowledge it on AEW TV, where it's like, remember that thing where Brandy commentated with you? That was weird. they kind of say that, like, publicly. It's not good, and it's just, and because we're so aware that she's the boss's wife, it just feels like we're being forced to sit through her development stage. It's like, I didn't sign up to this.
Here's the thing. I don't think she knows where it's going. I don't know whether it's supposed to be funny, serious. I don't know what the... Because, like, when you do, like, the personal therapy things, I think of the Hell No segments.
Yeah.
And the comedy segments and how well done they were. This, I don't know what to make them. Like, I watched it. Watch them yourselves this week and see what you think, like.
Yeah.
But I find them a bit odd, and I do find it, like Keane said, odd that they're only on social media, but yet they're furthering storylines for Dark and Dynamite.
Absolutely, yeah, no, I agree. I have to say, in at number three, I want to talk about something from Raw. Again, feeding on from the Royal Rumble, where one of the most unforgivable sins in recent wrestling history, where the camera cut away from Edge's first spear back, there was another massive, massive, massive gaffe. I think someone needs to get fired, and even if it's Kevin Dunn, and they've already fired enough executives for 1 week, I think they need to start thinking about it, because this was absolutely awful. They had a really good six-man tag team match on Raw. It was an elimination match. It was the Authors of Pain and Buddy Murphy against Kevin Owens and the Viking Raiders, okay? And the gimmick was the Viking Raiders got eliminated first, okay? So it left Kevin Owens against the three lads. What's the best part? All right, question. In that situation where it's one versus three, what's the best part of that? Like, when
the
you
stare
think,
down.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Nailed it in one. The best part is where the person realizes, oh shit, it's one versus three. And if it's the baby face, they're like, okay, okay, right, okay, let's do this. And the fans come up and they're like, yeah, 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 yeah. They could do an ad break. They could do an ad break at that moment. Kevin Owens stood on the apron and got up, and the three big fucking lads in the ring, well, no, the two Authors of Pain, and then Buddy Murphy's there, like, shit-eating grin, like, come on. And Kevin Owens, and you're like, you know that, like, Kevin Owens is going to run into the ring and he's going to attack them, and you're waiting for that moment. The crowd are coming up for that moment. Straight to ad break. It was fucking criminal, because they came back from an ad break, and do you know the way sometimes when they come back from an ad break, it's usually like a rear chin lock or something, nothing's going on, and the crowd are down again, and they're building up. The crowd weren't down, crowd were still up. Shit had obviously happened. And the crowd are like, yeah, 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 this is really good. And it's like, what's going on? And it was the end of that spot. It was the cutoff. And then, like, so the crowd just immediately went down as they came back from break. And it's like, what have I missed? Why did you cut off the best part of the fucking match? This is unforgivable, especially for WWE. It would be more, it would be finer if AEW did it, because again, it's like, you're newer to TV, I can allow those things. WWE, man, you guys are the market leader for decades in this. You know better than this, and it's fucking ridiculous. Someone needs to get fired or just put in a corner.
Do you think it's on the production now or the wrestlers? Because they've got earpieces coming from the production truck to the referees telling them when they're going to ad break, when to come up, when to come down, all the rest of it. So
I did think of that. I was thinking, because it was three segments. And yeah, they lay out the segments where it's like 6 + 4 + 6. You know what I mean? Mm. So that's the way your match is timed. So yeah, that's fair enough. For me to be more on the ref than the wrestlers, because they'd be like at a stage where, like, the ref should be the person, like, running the times, where it's like, lads, we've got a minute left. Now you get to the thing. You know what I mean? But also, I think as well, there should be leeway for audibles to be called. They absolutely have leeway when they go to an ad break, like, in case something goes long. It's live TV. Think of sports matches. They don't just cut off at certain times. WWE is the same type of programming. Whereas,
that'd be really funny. Imagine it's like someone's about to take a penalty, and it's like Coca-Cola or something. You know what I mean? Like,
is there no ad breaks in football matches?
I have time.
But there isn't, like, American football and basketball.
Keane is just looking at
but
me incredulously.
Could you imagine in, like, a fucking it's United versus Liverpool, and they're like 78 minutes, 1-1, and like,
who's going to win? We'll find out after this.
I don't know anything about sport. I genuinely had a conversation with Phil the other night about Michael Jordan, and I said something about his baseball career, and Phil went, what? And I went, yeah, you know, like when he left basketball to play baseball, and he was went, yeah, in Space Jam. And
no,
I was like,
you're right.
I am right.
You're right.
He actually did that.
He did. You're
Are
right.
you fucking kidding me?
I swear to God, he did that. That happened.
Oh my God, he laughed at me for like 10 minutes because he's like, I can't believe you thought Space Jam was real. And I was like, well, I knew the Looney Tunes part wasn't real, but like that happened in his life.
It did happen. He did. He left. He was crap. And then he came back to basketball at 1-3.
Oh my God, this is the greatest thing that could have happened to me today.
I don't follow Yank sports, so I have no idea what's happening.
Oh my, have you ever seen, you've never seen Space Jam?
No. Sort that out, man.
Oh my God.
There you go. Congratulations.
My mind is blown. Text them right now.
In at number three, well, can you hold fire on that text for a second? Because we've got to talk about SmackDown. You can think of a response while you're talking.
You even just leave your phone on the edge like that, and it doesn't even, like, the thought of it falling off doesn't even scare shit. No. Let's hear the shit out of me. Like, it's stressful.
That was really childish. we're talking about SmackDown. I didn't watch a whole lot of SmackDown. This segment kind of did it for me. Dog food match, the Usos, Roman Reigns, Baron Corbin, all that jazz. Loser eats dog food. You know what pissed me off? No one even ate any dog food.
Like, disgraceful.
Like, I know, like, this is your big feud ender. We've had to deal with all the dog food stuff for months now, and you're telling me you're not even going to make somebody eat a little bit of dog food. Like, it's really disappointing. Get your shit together. Don't promise me things and don't deliver.
Different from the take a lot of people are having. Katie's like, I tuned in for one reason.
If you can lie to me about the dog food, you can lie to me about Enton, so... but let's all just say a little thank you that this feud is finally over.
Yes.
And everyone involved can move on to greener pastures. There were some fun moments. There were more bad moments.
Yeah.
And it's done. Let's draw a line and move on.
I'm happy to do that. Yeah. And moving on. This is what I want to hear about. I've heard nothing about this because I was away at a stag party at the weekend. Congratulations to Lobos Hall of Famer Benny, by the way. You'll know him from working the floor if you come to the parties. I want to hear about this because this got over my head. In at number two, one from OTT.
Right. When I in the doc, right, it says OTT feet. When I say OTT feet, what do you think? What do you think that's going
to
be?
Someone was in the dressing room trying to take pictures of people's feet.
No.
That'd
no.
be Justy. What is anyone like?
Right. So basically it's to do with a match. It was Sean Guinness against Karen Noir. And Karen Noir wrestles barefoot. I fucking hate feet. Feet are not a nice... Now, I'm glad I have feet. If I didn't have feet, I think it would be a little bit harder to navigate through life. So I'm glad I have them, but I don't like them. You know what I mean? And the fact that he wrestles barefoot, it's not something that really bothers me hugely. Matt Riddle used to do it, and in UFC, everyone is barefoot. So you don't notice it if that's not, like, the focus. You know what I mean? But it was the focus in this match, and I didn't like it. Didn't like it. Sean was biting his fucking toes.
Did he?
Kicking him in the face with his bare foot. And it was basically, he was attacking the feet. That was the whole point, you know, taking the feet out from under him and stuff. And I just didn't like it. Yeah, I felt it was no enjoyable. I couldn't enjoy it. It was like, it was
you
like.
You sure it was just excellent heel work because of your reaction?
Hey. But, oh, you didn't mean that.
What?
Excellent
heel. Oh, no, I did. That's great, though.
You had your best moment ever, and then your worst.
Sure, if that's what you want to call it. I just didn't get any enjoyment out of the match. It wasn't even like, oh, fuck you for going for his feet. It was just like, I want to go away.
I feel like I'm just going to leave you two here.
It felt like some weird, like, fetishy type shit.
Tarantino movie. That's the thing.
Oh, he's got a foot fetish. I've heard about that.
Yeah, it's weird. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Always feet in his movies.
Yeah.
Oh, man, it was really... It was just who was sitting behind me again? I can't remember. They're just like, I'm going to go for a smoke. But yeah, it was... I'm not saying it was even a bad match. I just fucking hate feet, so I don't ever want to see it again.
Yeah.
And I'd like if the next Karen Noir match didn't remind me constantly that he was barefoot.
Oh.
That's all I want.
I actually don't know how people wrestle barefoot. Like, the thought of stubbing your toe or having someone stand on it, like, it's excruciating. Like.
Or just doing a flip bump or something wrong and then your feet just going weird. Like, how does that not happen all the time?
Yeah,
like?
I wouldn't like that at all.
Yeah, no, that's it. That's just really upset me and I don't want to think about it. So can we move on, please?
Keen, I don't mean to upset you.
Okay.
More, but are you sitting comfortably?
No.
Are you okay? Are you ready for this?
No.
Well, unfortunately, we have a show to do, so we can't wait. Because in our number one, I want to talk about NWA.
Mm. Yeah.
Keen.
I know where you're going with this, because we talked about it off air briefly. I know. I'm just going to cut to the chase, because I can't. I know what you're going to say, and it hurts, so just say it. Just fucking say it.
Put it this way. You will never hear this song again.
Just enjoy it. We're just trying to
stop talking over it. Goodbye.
Oh, sorry. Are they singing?
No. Don't ruin it. You weave your spell, your eyes, they
burn. Wait, Dean, it's the best part coming up. Here we go. I'm killed just like shit.
Yeah, it's not mine. It's not mine.
Take it, Dean.
Oh man, it's so good.
It's
so fucking good.
And it's not the NWA Power theme song anymore. For no good reason. This is ridiculous.
For me, this is arguably the best theme song. I'm playing out with the speaker. Oh my god, please turn it off.
I was waiting for you to freak out about it.
For me, this is arguably the best show theme song ever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's up there. There's a log we could go for a while.
Oh yeah. Arguments for every, for loads. Yeah. But also, a lot of the shows you look back on with nostalgia as well.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of people don't like, what was that Papa Roach song that they did for Raw?
Well.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of people.
That's an awesome song.
A lot of people wouldn't call it their favorite, but that was my childhood song. Yeah. So that's my, fucking, I love that.
That's a class song. What else was there? There was,
Across the Nation.
Do you know what was a sneaky great song, right? This is under the radar. Do you remember the old SmackDown theme song?
Turnipill?
No. It was before that. It was the one just before that. It was like when Kurt Angle and Brock Lesnar were in charge. It's like, hey, yo, it's my life, my time.
The SmackDown Here Comes the Pain theme song is a fucking banger. I know the one you're on about.
And then the music video for it as well. It's just real sporting, because it was Lesnar and Angle, so it was very real wrestling era. So it's just them training and shit. And it's just like, holy shit, I'm fucking ready for it.
No, I wish on that. That was a banger as well. Yeah. So this for me, but my point is, we look back at all those with nostalgia as well, so we can acknowledge they're good, but they're even better as the years go on.
Yeah.
We're saying this with zero nostalgia, you know what I mean? That this is up there. And also how it set the tone for the show as well. This, if this is, if this has been replaced, I haven't heard the replacement, I haven't watched Power this week yet, but
it's not good either. It's a generic Pantera song. And this may be a wrestling joke before your time. It was a meme before we knew what the word meme meant. But Pantera around the time, you might remember this, where every indie wrestler's team, I did Pantera theme song. I did, genuinely. It just fit. Every fucking Rob Van Dam had one. It was the wrestling. It was Creed or Limp Bizkit. You know what I mean? It was, but for indie wrestling outside of WWE. And it was really I get you're going for a throwback, but this is just a generic wrestling theme song. This is just a heavy metal song at the start of a wrestling show, and I feel like every wrestling company ever has done that. Do you know what I mean?
Oh man, no, I can't believe it.
Do you know what I liked about it though as well? And you can listen to it on Spotify. It's Into the Fire by Dokken as well, if you're looking for it. I listen to it a lot.
Yeah, it's on my Spotify. Yeah. Genuinely, I love it.
I listened to it after last week's show, not realizing that I'd never watch it at the start of NWA Power again.
Oh, man, could you stop? You actually make me really sad.
But, what I liked about it was it set the tone for what NWA is, okay? Because I watch NWA Power as, I watch it almost like Glow. Do you know what I mean? Where it's, it's not a wrestling show that's happening now. It's wrestlers from today playing characters from the 80s. Do you know what I mean? It's Nick Aldis isn't Nick Aldis in this, even though he's called Nick Aldis. But it's him performing as a bad, as a traditional champion heel from the 80s and performing stereotypical characters and doing stereotypes. That's the way I view NWA Power. And when they set up that at the start of the show, it's they introduce their cast. Do you know what I mean? They go over each wrestler that's on the show.
It's a bit like Lucha Underground. It's like they've created their own world. You know what I mean? It's separate from all the other promotions, kind of.
Exactly, and it just brings you into that so much, and you're like, it gets me so excited on a Wednesday morning when I watch it. Like, I'm just like, I'm singing it when I'm watching it at home. Like, I'm not messing. It's like,
you're like a kid with your like fucking cereal watching cartoons.
I am. I am genuinely like,
Joe, I'm the same. Like, I'm 100%.
It's like, I'm not even messing. I was thinking about it. I was like, I think Into the Fire is like 30% sounds high. But then I think, no, I go 40% of the reason I watch that show. It's that good and it hooks me that much. And like, genuinely, like, it feels like I watched it this morning and I feel like I've lost the connection to it. Do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like, oh, it's not the same anymore. And also as well, it kind of brings me into a bigger concern where it's like, they're trying to run the stadium now for this Crockett Cup with Nick Aldis and Marty Scurll. I don't want that. I don't want it to be just another wrestling show. I want it to be that. I watch it because it's different. I know Billy Corgan is like, we can be AEW. I can run. I'm a millionaire. I ran the Smashing Pumpkins. I can run the biggest wrestling promotion in the world. I don't want it to be big. I want it to be in the studio. I want to get to know the fans. Oh, do you know what I mean? Like, the way I watch OTT and I'm like, oh, there's Declan. There's Keane. There's blah, blah, blah. You know what
oh,
I mean?
No.
I like the Santa fan. Do you know what I mean? The guy who's always dressed up as Santa there.
No, I don't care about the fans.
But like, not, it's not even that. It's like, I want it to feel close. I want it to feel like a community. I want it to feel like I know how these fans will react.
See, for the pay-per-views, I want them to run big shows. But I don't want them to sacrifice their identity in the process. So as long as the weekly shows are like that, I get what you're saying. But I'd like to see them try the stadium every now and then. You know what I mean?
But I like when the pay-per-view, they have entrance music. And they walk from the top of the stairs. And that's big to
them. I forgot to mention that last week. Yeah, that's a little touch I fucking love. Yeah,
because it's like, that's their version of this is big. If they run a normal big wrestling show, then it's like, this is just another wrestling show. Do you know what I mean? It's not the, how's it the 80s anymore? It's not in the studio. Where's your man Dave? What's his name?
But that's what makes it feel like a big show, because it's different to all the other shows.
Maybe. Like, I could see a big show and then be like, oh, they absolutely should have done that. You know what I mean? I reserved that right, but this was just a small part of my love for NWA died. So I'm not even
this
exaggerating.
Is very dramatic.
I'm not even exaggerating.
That's a good song, though.
It's a class song, and it just set the tone so well for me.
You kind of pop when it comes on, that, don't you? You're like,
yeah.
As soon as you're like,
dang. Like, because they have the little countdown, and then it gets to one, and you're like, oh, and then it's like, dang. And you're like, yeah. It is. It genuinely like gets you to that marquee place. And now it's no longer a part of my life. That's really upsetting. Fix that, NWA. Sort it out, Billy Corgan. You're supposed to be a music man. Come on, get on it. Anyway, let's talk about the good. I need cheering up, guys, because it's time for... I keep fucking that up. Sorry, guys. It's because I had to turn it down because Keane couldn't stand to hear it. Best moments of the week in at number 5. One from AEW.
Yeah, I should just put Jericho in here permanently because he's just deadly. Like, and he's the best thing by far about AEW. And like, another great segment with John Moxley where he's come out with the Inner Circle and like Moxley's cut this deadly promo about how he's from Ohio, which I didn't know. And it seems like a random hometown for John Moxley. Yeah. I don't know why. It doesn't
seems
feel like
generic,
it
doesn't it?
Yeah. And what I loved is like, and he was like, I've got friends here. And I'm thinking like, oh my God, John Moxley's got a load of people. They're going to fuck shit up. No, he meant the fans. But that was a little bit disappointing. And then Jericho brings out loads of other people to back up his gang. And you know what I loved? John Moxley fought them anyway. Mm. Just jumped in head first and start whacking the shit out of people. Yeah. And just like fucking DDT and extras and like all the rest of it. And he just looked like such a badass with his eye patch on, in his khakis. Beating the shit out of a gang of people.
Yeah.
And it's like they went in my head and thought, like, what would Katie really like to see John Moxley do this week? And then they delivered it. And I loved it. And then they did it again at the end of the show where he interrupted it, where he came out at the end of the match with a baseball bat and just started attacking people again.
Yeah.
And I loved it. And he's great. The other thing I enjoyed from this was Britt Baker.
What?
Yeah. But I don't know whether it's because the bar has now dropped so low that, like, I really enjoyed her promo this week, or whether I just really like the angle she's going now, because she's turned heel.
Yeah.
And this week, she came for Jim Ross.
Okay.
Have you seen it yet?
I have seen it. I'm just perplexed, because I hated it.
You hated it?
Oh, I did see this. Yeah.
I kind of like that she's embracing what everyone's saying about her, and she's making it work to her advantage. I don't know if it's good, but I like that she's doing it. I like that she's trying it. Like, so for anyone who hasn't seen it, like... she's coming for Jim Ross and basically saying, like, you're just over there trying to sell barbecue sauce. You don't give a shit what's going on. You're not even saying our names right. And it's like, she's just calling out, like, all the shit people have been saying about him. Yeah. And, like, about her. She's like, oh, the, you know, like, you mentioned I'm a dentist every 10 minutes, which I don't think she can really give out about, considering she's got a tooth on her coat and all the rest
her
of it.
Her engine, Steve, and all, yeah, like,
yeah. Yeah, and, like, her insults to Tony Schiavone was, you know, about his dental hygiene. But then
that's what I hated about it. It
I
was so
like
forced.
That.
It's like, ah, you've gone out bad breath, which is a sign of. I was like, oh, this is so forced. I want to die.
I know, but I kind of like it, because if they're going to force the dentist stuff, like, just proper hammy force it, like.
Yeah, like, don't, like, make it a baby face. And she's like, I guess you've got bad breath. And I know, like, if that was a baby face, yeah, definitely that'd be terrible.
Yeah, but I don't know. I, as I said, I don't know whether the bar is now so low I just enjoyed it, or whether I genuinely enjoyed it. But I like, she's making the best of her situation, and she's embracing all the negativity, and she's, like, trying to make it work for her. It's making her stand out, like.
If it entertained you, like, I'm not disagreeing. I'm not saying you're wrong. Like, if it worked for you. It just didn't for me. That's all I'm saying. In at number four, you'd like this in New Japan, actually. Moxie wore the eye patch out during his New Japan match.
Oh, I've seen this.
It was
class.
It was deadly. It was a nice little touch. And also another little thing where now the commentators are talking about AEW and stuff like that, and it's like, ooh, they're starting to work together. I actually like this much more than if Tanahashi just won at Wrestle Kingdom, because now it's still like. But they did mention it all, like, so, like, there is something happening. It's very subtle and very tiny, but I really liked, on the first New Beginning show, I really, really liked the tag team match to set up a couple of matches. It was Moxie and Okada, which is a great class team already, and then you've got Suzuki and Taichi, who are both members of Suzuki-gun, and of course, we know Suzuki's feuding with Moxie. They've got a US title match coming up, I think next week it is, and then you've got Taichi and Okada, who are main eventing the second night. And you think about this and you're like, oh, well, how do you book that? Because, like, you've got to keep the other guys strong. Do you know how they booked it? Suzuki gonna kick the shit out of them. They just battered them. Like, Suzuki hit Moxie with a pile driver and just pinned them clean in the middle. And then Taichi just went psycho after the match and beat the shit out of Okada. And it was class, because it's just so unexpected. And they went mental. Like, after the match, the beatdown went on for ages and went outside the ring. And Taichi started getting the, like, kind of iron fist. And he started beating up Okada with that. Okada started fighting back. Then Zack Sabre Jr. just came down and started choking Okada. So that Taichi could just get his licks in and stuff like that. And then Okada and Moxie are just laid out. But, like, apart from the Zack Sabre Jr. thing, what made it refreshing was it was a fair fight. They lost. They just got the shit kicked out of them by the lads. So it was like, it really did a lot to elevate them. When you just, Moxie and Okada, you see that and you're like, they're unbeatable. They're not going to lose a tag team match. Like, if you wanted to have them lose, you put, like, Yoshihashi with them or something like that.
No chemistry.
No chemistry.
Team name.
There,
no,
yeah,
team name. No matching gear, you know?
Proof of concept. There, exactly. You go. And then you had, in the main event, it was Shingo Takagi against Hirooki Goto. Again, it was one of those matches that, like, after the Ishii Evil match where you're like, they're saying sorry for Wrestle Kingdom. Shingo Takagi is someone who it could legitimately feel denied. Had one of the best years in New Japan last year. The match of the year candidate against Will Ospreay in the Best of Super Juniors final. Went undefeated in the Best of Super Juniors to the point that he was then invited to the G1 Climax. Had a huge fucking year. Was undefeated in singles action until the Will Ospreay match. That's 6 months undefeated. So, like, deserved the spot in the Wrestle Kingdom card. He won the Never Openweight belts in, like, a pre-show match. But, like, that was it for Shingo Takagi. So, he fought Hirooki Goto for the Never Openweight Championship, and he won. He kicked the shit out of him. It was fucking class. As well, I love these little things with New Japan, because, like, for me, Hirooki Goto is Never Openweight Champion. It wasn't going. We've seen that so many times before. He's the Dolph Ziggler in New Japan, except he has, like, fantastic matches on the regular. But he's just, you're never going to believe him as champion. He's always going to be there or thereabouts. So there's no value in having him with a belt for a long time. Let him win it every now and then, because he's a big baby face. Let him win, like, he beat Kenta. He beat the bad guy. He avenged Shibata getting attacked and stuff. But Shingo is the guy going forward. And the best part about this is, the Never Openweight title is, it's exactly exactly what it sounds like. It's not heavyweight, it's not junior. Anyone can fight for the title. Shingo is both of those things. He was in the best of Super Juniors and he was in the G1 Climax. This is perfect for him, and he can redefine this belt now in a way that it hasn't been since Shibata held it. And Shibata used to be like kind of a legend killer gimmick. When he was champion, he used to fight all the old guys, and he used to get in wars, and he was a cocky heel, and then occasionally they team up and beat him down together and stuff. And it was a really cool storyline. So Shingo now has a dynamic with this where he's like, I'll fight anyone at any weight. It's just a division where he can dominate and he can make his own. And I hope he gets a long fucking reign, because there's going to be class matches, because he's an awesome wrestler. Last really good thing from the New Japan New Beginning shows, Sunday's main event, Okada against Taichi. Just a really good match. Just a really, really, really good match. And it was just, they set the tone for this at the start when commentary talked about how the two of them came back from excursion together, and like Okada went straight to the top, Taichi had to work his way up, and he's still working his way up. And it was one of those matches where Taichi's like kind of getting the better of him, but then Okada has an answer for him, and it's just constantly building and building and building on that. And it's just well worth going out of your way to watch. Osprey wrestled Zack Sabre Jr. for the Refro British Championship as well. Some people may like that, so I'm throwing it in here. For me, it's one of those matches where, do you know matches where people have to do Twitter threads to explain why it was good? Do you know what I mean? Where they have to justify it, where it's like, and then this happened. And the reason, you may not have noticed this, but it was good because of this. And it's like, yeah, but I never felt it in that moment. That's just personally how I felt and how I can feel about certain Zack Sabre Jr. matches. And for me, it was that. Like, I found myself reaching for my phone. I wasn't a massive fan. But a lot of people were. If you love Zack Sabre Jr., you love this match. So check that out. It's the co-main on Sunday. We return this week, so there'll be more New Japan discussion next week. But I want to talk about a big moment for our very own Katie Harvey this week, who made her debut in Pro Wrestling Eve.
Yeah, I don't think we've really ever talked about Eve on the show before, have we?
It's been mentioned, but yeah, not like kind of discussed the content. It's something that I just like, I'd never get a chance to see.
The sexist.
And I just want to make it clear, I didn't put myself in this as
no,
awesome.
No, 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 no.
I put the show because it was my first time at a live Eve show. Yeah. Obviously, I've watched them on VOD. And like, I just wanted to talk about it because it was really cool. You know, when you just like, you go to a wrestling show and the vibe, and you straight away you're just like, this is my vibe. Like, this is like the first time you walk into the Tivoli and there's like that kind of like gang mentality. Yeah. There's like a good atmosphere. Like, Eve is the closest I've ever felt to the Tivoli in terms of like, as soon as the ring announcer Emily comes out, like everyone is like on her every word. Everyone knows what's going on. Actually, no, that's not quite true, because apparently half of everyone that attends an Eve show is coming to their first wrestling show, and apparently a large proportion of their live audience don't watch anything except Eve.
No.
They've built up a niche in London as like a cabaret act. So like, they get a lot of non-wrestling fans,
right,
who are just there to literally drink and enjoy the show. And it's a really, really cool dynamic, because if you show like a spark of personality, like, they're on it. They're into the matches, which is really, really cool.
That reminds me a lot of the Tivoli. Like, the atmosphere there, where it was like people bring stag parties and stuff.
Yeah, that's it.
And it's like, this is wrestling now? You know, that kind of way, yeah.
Yeah, because the ring announcer did the whole, like, whose first time is at Eve? And I could not believe, like, the roar, the amount of people whose first time it was at a wrestling show. Really? And it was just a really cool vibe. And then the wrestling as well. Like, there's so many good female wrestlers in the UK. And to just see them, like, I was telling you before the show, like, I was basically told, like, just have fun. Just do what you do. Like, just go out and have a great match.
Deadly.
And it feels like that's the kind of vibe everyone gets. And I watched the main event for the Eve International title, which has been held by Jamie Hayter and defended in Stardom for the last year. So it was Jamie Hayter making a surprise return to the UK against Nina Samuels, Sky Smithson, and who was the fourth person? Sami Zayn. It was deadly. It's one of the best matches I've seen live. It was so cool. And the way that the Res Gal is set up is the ring is against a wall and it's against a stage. So there's only two sides, but the crowd are right up against the ring. Like, they can bang it. They can lean on it during the matches.
Yeah.
Like, and it was just wild. It was one of the best matches I've seen live. And I just wanted to talk about Eve because it was deadly being there. And, you know, check out their VOD.
I just looked it up there. It's Eve Wrestling / EveWrestling.com/Eve on demand if you want to look it up. It's something, and there's a lot of others, like the Woke Queens are doing awesome work.
Oh, they're
there.
Massive there.
Yeah.
Rhea O'Reilly's there, Ginny's there, Jeddah, one of the like I just loads of really, really great female wrestlers are there. Definitely go out your way, check it out. No, Keena, didn't win before you asked. Just heading you off at the pass. Yes, Valkyrie bet me of all people. but I'll be going back over in the next few months, and I'm very excited. It's a really cool promotion.
Okay, excellent. There you go. Well, you've sold me well in it. It's kind of like when Corbett Keane starts getting really hyped about Lucha Underground there. I really want to check it out because it's something that, like, it's been on my kind of hit list for it. Like, it kind of sounds like Progress when it was kind of at its peak, except just women's wrestling.
Yeah,
that sounds awesome.
It's really cool, and it was really scary for me because that's the first new place I've debuted in nearly 4 years.
Yeah. What? Jesus.
Yeah. Like, I had so many regular places that, yeah, like, I hadn't debuted anywhere new in a very long time.
That's wild.
And so again, it's weird introducing yourself to a brand new crowd. Yeah. It's like scary, but it's exciting. So yeah, cool.
That's really cool. Congratulations. Anyway, and there you go. Check it out on their VOD. In the number two, real quick, let's talk about Raw. It was really fucking good this week. There was that 6-man tag I talked about. The start of it was just kind of like setting up WrestleMania, like stuff like they had Drew go over in a squash match and stuff like that. And then like kind of, it was just kind of setting up. But as the show went on, it got better. So you've probably heard by now Andrade's got suspended for a wellness violation. He got written off Raw last week when Humberto took him out, double arm DDT. And then Humberto comes out and then he's interrupted by Zelina Vega, who's bringing out the person who's going to be replacing Andrade in this feud, for the time being at least, Angel Garza.
No!
Yeah, yeah. And then they gave away a bit. I don't know if this is the case, but like the story is that he's Humberto's cousin. And then you're like, oh shit. And then it's like, she's just like, yeah, well, I offered him an opportunity and he's decided to take it. You're a bit surprised to see him. And then Humberto ended up getting the win when they had a match. But then afterwards, Angel Garza goes to beat the shit out of him. He's going to double arm DDT him and Rey Mysterio runs down. And then like they have a fucking great match as well. So it was absolutely class. This whole, like, everything they're doing there is absolutely fantastic. It's like a show unto itself. Like, it's just a segment of Raw every week where you're like, this is going to be worth watching every single time, no matter what. It's a really underrated part. Also, for me, probably the best part of Raw. And again, like, it had been kind of rumored, which I wish it hadn't. Like, I wish we just heard nothing about this and it hadn't even been speculated about. But it kind of it leaked. But it was still a class moment. If it hadn't been, I could only think of how good it would be. Because Charlotte comes out to name her WrestleMania opponent. And then she's like talking about, like, I've won everything on Raw, I've won everything on SmackDown. And then all you hear is the crowd going, Rhea, Rhea, Rhea. And she's like, yeah, I like NXT too, don't worry about it. And kind of plays it off. And then she's like, so everyone's asking me who I'm going to wrestle at WrestleMania. Rhea Ripley's music hits. And she comes out like, because like Survivor Series, she was way over and people are like, Rhea's deadly. But you worry because a lot of times past, the Royal Rumble's past, we've got a lot to focus on since. You're like, is that going to maintain? Is everyone watching NXT? They're paying attention. They remember. She got a huge fucking pop. People went crazy for her. Like, and it's not one of these surprise pops when someone debuts. It's like a we fucking love you pop. Do you know what I mean? She's like proper star quality here. Comes out and she's like, well, why don't you face me? Holds the belt up in front of her. And Charlotte just like kind of leaves and then says woo on the mic, and then it's announced that Charlotte is coming to NXT to answer Rhea Ripley's challenge. So that's the way it's going after all of that. People complaining, Charlotte, oh, we don't want to see her fight Becky or Bayley. She's not, she's fighting Rhea. That's a really fresh match. And here's an interesting one as well. Possibility that both Royal Rumble winners could lose at WrestleMania. Like, I could absolutely see both. I could see Charlotte dropping or losing to Rhea. Like, I put Rhea as the slight favourite right now, depending on how the story plays out. I could see Drew losing to Brock too. I don't necessarily think it's going to happen, but I could absolutely see a world where it does. So fantastic as well, where there's still a lot of scope. We still don't know who Becky's going to wrestle. Asuka made a case this week as well that she should get a rematch. I don't think it's going to happen, but there's still intrigue. We don't know where Bayley's going to go.
Is there a pay-per-view before WrestleMania?
There's two. There's Super Showdown, oh, and then there's, well, I don't know what the story is with them having women wrestle there now, if that's just going to be a thing. And then there is Elimination Chamber 2.
Isn't it deadly how NXT is still in Full Sail? So it feels like a big, like, I'm actually buzzing to see Charlotte in NXT.
Yeah.
But if NXT was still, like, in, you know, proper arenas, it would kind of feel like another show.
Yeah.
I know, like, it's a WWE superstar going to a WWE show, but for me, it just feels like, especially because, like, you know, she used to be fucking massive there as well. So I don't know. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, and it's like, do you know when you see Seth Rollins? Like, remember he showed up on NXT and it felt bigger all of a sudden. Like that kind of stuff.
It does feel like a crossover. You know what I mean?
AJ Styles and Gallows and Anderson, when they showed up, it's like, oh, they're in the ring. It's mad. Even though it's like they're their employees, of course.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like they've made their own like kind of crossover thing. Even though it's all in the same company, they still managed to make it feel kind of cool.
And also another little shout out. Now this would have happened by the time most people would have heard it. Jordan Devlin debut on real NXT as well tonight.
Oh shit.
Yeah, so, and then he debuts on 205 Live this weekend, so I expect a lot of Jordan talk this time next week. In the meantime, let's talk about the place that Jordan made his own. Let's talk about OTT, because it was back this week with a really good contender show. Corporate Keane was there. Tell us what happened.
Yeah, it was a good show. The three matches stand out to me. First of all, Beak Hill versus Scotty Davis versus Omari was funny as fuck.
Yeah,
Beak Hill is just the funniest wrestler alive. Like, he's just so, he like, oh, there was one part before the match where, like, so Joe goes for a piss and he just cuts his promo and he's like, right, you know, he does the whole, like, when I come out to do my entrance, you know, everyone pops for me and stuff and all that, but then he just goes like, when Joe Cabrera comes out of the toilet, right, everyone just fucking boom, like, absolute fuck, just boom, like, he fucking, you know, like, I don't know, like, kills someone, whatever, and he comes out and, like, the entire crowd is just fucking like, fuck, the whole Tivoli, the whole fucking ringside club just fucking ripping into it all.
Yeah.
And it was just gas. Then B comes out and everybody's celebrating. But the whole match is great because it was like, B Kill was terrified of Scott, you know, Mary. And he's like, Mario would go to, like, clothesline him and he'd be like, ah! And he'd, like, duck. But then it'd work because he's, like, ducking the clothesline. So, like, his fear accidentally made him really good in the match. Right. And there was so much to it, like him trying to, like, strike up alliances with Omari and Scotty and stuff. And, like, it was just so fucking good. Ah, like, I, like, Beak Hill is probably my favorite part of OTT right now. I'm so, like, every show, I'm like, I wonder what Beak Hill's doing. I wonder what, like, where is that going to go next? You know what I mean? Like, I'm always, that's what I'm looking at when I'm saying, like, what's next, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
His last video was my favourite as well. I don't think we talked about it last week. His most recent video with, when he's talking about the Fabulous Moolah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
Joe tries to crack a joke at the end.
Yeah. Very good.
Yeah,
but yeah, that's really good. That's worth watching. The three-way tag, Warden Hype, Two Pros, and Young Guns. The Young Guns are great. I don't know who they are. I've never seen them before, but I really enjoyed watching them wrestle. That was a great match. And then the main event. Oh my god, lads, the main event.
You must have been like proper, like, you must have been proper geeks for this.
Yeah. Like, it was fucking, because, like, fucking Nicola and Tony were all cheering fucking Star and all that, which I think is, what I loved about this actually was there was a spit in the crowd.
Nice.
I thought it was going to be the whole, you know, I thought everyone could be cheering Star again. I was like, oh no, don't be like that. And no, like, it was nice and split. It was like, nice. It was the LJ fans and the Star fans.
Yeah.
And it was intense, you know what I mean? Obviously, like, on paper, you're like, right, Star's winning. But it was still like, it was still really good, and I agree with people when they say it was LJ Cleary's best ever match. I feel like it was.
Nice.
I was really, really, really into it. Like, it was just so good. And after the match as well, Starr does another one of these speeches. I'm sorry, there's so much to happen. I'm trying to, like, think of it all. So there's one point in the match where he does a suicide dive and, like, he lands on the ring crew, but the ring crew are just kind of, they don't fall over, they just hold him. Mm-hmm. And he just stares at the ring crew, and, like, Danny Cross and all them were just smiling back at him, and it's like, us. And then LJ does a dive on them, like, 30 seconds later and flattens them all. But then after it, obviously Starr wins, but it's a fucking amazing match. And afterwards, Starr cuts another promo, you know, us and all that. And then he goes to, like, shake LJ's hand. LJ's just like, you don't care about this place. You don't care about us. You don't care about them. And he's doing the whole, like, remember when he faced Speedball, he had his thumb up the whole time. And it's like, then he turned it down and fucking beat the shit out of him.
Yeah.
He had his, like, thumb up to LJ and he was, like, teasing to, like, put it down. And out of nowhere, he just, like, puts it up and just walks out. And it was like, oh shit, I don't know, it was intriguing. The whole thing, it was very like, oh, it was just so cool. Nice. I'm not doing it justice. Like, have either of you seen it?
Not yet.
Fake fan. Katie's a fucking fake fan. That's bullshit, man. Absolute plastic.
Fake friend.
No. I kept to touch it up.
Bet you don't even know, like, name like 10 of LJ Cleary's matches. Yeah, can't. So, like.
Do you know what I loved about the reaction to this match, though, is I think he's done so much trios lately that people, either forgot or didn't realize he's such an accomplished singles wrestler. But like, we know because we've seen him wrestle Jordan on Fight Factory, for example, and we've seen him do loads of single matches on Fight Factory. But he's a fucking deadly singles wrestler.
It feels weird calling it like a breakout match because I think a lot of people wouldn't own that. But it still does feel like a breakout match. You know what I mean? If somebody says, like, LJ Cleary, like, what singles match should I watch? That's the one you'd show them. Like, it's fucking amazing.
Nice.
And yeah, I loved it. And awesome. I want to see LJ Cleary win the title one day. I'll fucking cry when it happens.
Well, you can't see him win the OTT belt this week, but you can see him wrestle in Ireland. Again, this Sunday, God's Fight Factory is back. Episode 13, Lousy Smart Weather. If OTT last week didn't give you enough for your fix, check it out. It's going to be a fucking awesome show, filled pretty much with local talent as well. So there you go. Get to see your next favorite wrestler. Get to be ahead of the curve and get to see who you're going to be talking about for years to come. It is in the Sheriff Youth Hall. We are back there. Doors, 3:30 p.m. We're going to go through the card and we're going to start by announcing a match that hasn't been announced yet. Well, it might have been since you listened to this, because you guys can listen to it in your own time. But when we're speaking it, it hasn't been announced. So there we go. We'll start off with a match that was built up last week, on episode 12, Paddy Morrow against Sean Guinness. So it's going to be an excellent match. Two proper NWA Ireland old school guys. You're used to seeing Fight Factory being like either young guys stealing the show or kind of like that old versus new vibe. You see a lot of that. We're going to see proper, like, this is a match that, like, It belongs on a Fight Factory show. Do you know what I mean? Like, and it kind of, it's the best place for it as well, because it's like two guys who are going to get the time, get the respect they deserve. Katie, this is proper. This is proper old school.
Oh yeah, I'm proper excited for this. Yeah. Like when I seen that this match was happening. Like, they're both kind of peaking again, aren't they?
Yeah.
Like, realistically, they are. So yeah, it's gonna be really good to sit back and watch.
Corbin Keane, who has the advantage for you?
It is a tough one because, I mean, there's no experience advantage here. They both go back. Yeah. They don't know each other very well.
Train together, know each other inside out.
Yeah, they're both.
They didn't have the chemistry last time we saw in episode 12.
No, again, no team name. That's it.
That's why we're here.
Actually, they did have a team name. Sorry. They're not matching gear, though. Mm-hmm. There you go. Lack of
separate
chemistry.
Separate entrances.
Exactly.
If they had, like, if their entrance team was even matched up, it was like, nah.
Like a really shit, uncoordinated mashup theme. I mean, at least that's a sign of tag
it's
team
a
chemistry.
It's a start, like.
But, I'm going to go with Sean Guinness. But, you can flip a coin on this one, really. Just think he edges him. I think he's more vicious. You know what I mean? He's more like, he doesn't give a shit if his opponent's hurt. I think Paddy has more compassion in the ring. You know what I mean? Mm. I feel like if Paddy was like injure Sean in a fight, he'd be like, oh, you know, shit. Like, I might, you know, is he all right? You know, that kind of way. Whereas I think Sean goes in there to injure his opponent and get the win. He doesn't care about, you know, your personal life. He's there to get his win and go. So I'm going to go with Sean based off the Ruthless Aggression.
Okay, excellent. This is a match that, look, we laughed the last time a similar match was announced, but then Midcar Mafia went out and did it. They got the win. They beat Liam Royal at episode 12. One of the biggest upsets, I think it's fair to say, in Irish wrestling history. I'm just saying. I'm throwing it out there, and I don't think, like, think of something that's a bigger upset than Midcar Mafia beating Liam Royal. It happened. You didn't dream it. You saw it happen at episode 12. But then, unfortunately, then after the match, it kind of went the way you would have thought it went, because it was revealed that Tony Kelly was pulling the strings all along, brought the true pros to Fight Factory. Michael May came out, and they beat the ever-loving piss out of Midcar Mafia. It was like, as fun as it was to see them get the piss beat out of them during the match, afterwards, it felt really, I felt for the guys.
I didn't like it.
It was horrible. It was traumatizing.
Yeah. I was more upset than I wanted to be.
Yeah. It genuinely was like. And they're coming back. Now, you're seeing them in training week by week. So they seemed like they released an interview this week on social media. Check it out if you haven't already. And look, they're still going to be the Midcar Mafia, but there seemed to be more of a serious edge to them there. These are actually getting prepared for this match, aren't they?
Yeah, like, I mean, Jay's gotten really good at getting in and out of the ring on crutches. Like, he's really putting his shift there. No, they actually do seem more serious. Like, they're not just messing.
Yeah.
It's great.
So, 4-on-2, Corver Keane. The chemistry, Midcar Mafia have been a tag team longer than the True Pros. So, they've already beaten Liam Royal. Do you give them a chance here?
No. <I'm> sorry.
Yeah, no, I don't either. It'll be fun to watch, though. Another, this is going to be an absolute banger of a tag team match, and this is one that's hard to pick to win. The O3, the representing Project Next Gen, the team of Justin Daniels and Big Rab going up against one of the best tag teams in Irish wrestling history, More Than Hype. Recently, Irish tag team champions coming back needing a big win after losing their belts, but they're going in against a team who are riding a massive wave of momentum and are becoming quickly one of the most popular tag teams in Ireland today. A team that, if they keep winning, if they win this match, they're going to start being able to knock down my door and have a claim to a future Irish tag team title shot. The question is, do you think they can get that win? You're in training with them, like you said, so you're kind of seeing the nightly preparations. Like, there's a gap here. There is, we know, and there's no way to deny it. But, like, how hard are the O3 working to close that gap since this match has kind of been in the works?
I think that they could pull off an upset on Sunday. Mm-hmm. I think they've got it in them, and I think they're on that wave of momentum. And like Justin coming off that contenders match as well, like, and I know Rab has been doing a lot of wrestling around the country or other places. Like they're on a good streak, and I think they're going to give More Than Hype a lot more trouble than they're expecting.
Like that's the thing. Like, is it an upset? Like, is it even an upset? Like, yeah, of course, in one sense it is. Okay, you have one of the best tag teams in Irish wrestling history, but like, the O3 are fucking good. They are good. They can stand in there against More Than Hype. When they stand there, it won't look like kids against men. Do you know what I mean? It's going to look like two established tag teams in a fucking great match. So, Corbin Keane, where do you see it?
I love the O3, but it is an upset. Like, the More Than Hype, they're, you know, former Irish tag team champions. The best tag team in Europe, I think it's fair to say.
Yeah.
They're on a level right now. That's incredibly high.
World class.
Yeah. But I still think the O3 can do it. It is an upset, but I can still see it happening. I think, it is such a tough one to call. Like,
here's what makes it interesting for me. More Than Hype. Okay, so do you remember Jordan wrestled in the when he was wrestling the six-way for the Irish Junior Heavyweight Championship? And beforehand, I came out and I issued a warning to Jordan Devlin. I'm like, look, these are hungry people. You're wrestling Walter the week beforehand. You're wrestling WWE tapings a few weeks later, and you've got a lot to focus on. These are five people who are gunning for your belt. That is the match they're training for. Could that play into this with More Than Hype? Could it play into it where they're wrestling every night of the week nearly at this stage? This is one match of five this week, more than likely, for them. The O3 are training just for this. They're going to put everything into this match because this match means everything to them.
Yeah, it's like when Norwich beat Man City this season. You know what I mean? And I think they could do it. I think they see the light at the end of the tunnel in terms of a tag title shot. Like, if you beat More Than Hype, I don't want to go out and call this a number one contenders match because it's not officially, but surely that boosts you up the hypothetical rankings, you know what I mean?
Like, that's hypothetical, the More Than Hype.
I don't get it.
I just keep talking.
Okay. I feel like it puts them really close to a title shot, and yeah, I think that's their ultimate goal. I feel they'll put in the work, they'll do everything they can, and I mean, I can imagine Big Rab throwing them around the ring. I can imagine Justin Daniels doing deadly shit and getting them killed. You know what I mean? Like, I think they can get shit done. I'm going to go with the 0-3.
Oh, I can visualize. The more we talk, the more I'm like, I can see it. Yeah, I can absolutely see it. Club Rock Shandy make their first defense of their second Irish tag team title reign. And their first proper defense, because they obviously didn't get to have a first reign, which we covered before on the show. They face some of the world's best, though. They take on Jay Skillett and Julian Pace, two of WXW's biggest stars today. They asked for this, okay? So this is a bit of background to the match. They're like, look, we don't get these opportunities all the time. Now we're Irish Tag Team Champions. We want to face the best that you have. Put in a call. We don't get these matches. Like, when it's an import coming in to Fight Factory, which is a rare thing, it's like Michael May or you know, More Than Hype. They're the people who are going to get the call. Club Rock Shandy are like, we proved a point in the main event of the last show. Now, they weren't being arrogant about it. They were just saying their case. And they were like, we want this. We can step up to the challenge. Have they bitten off more than they can chew? These guys are pretty fucking good.
Like, Jay Skillet's a proper tag team specialist. Yeah. Like, he's been in a lot of tag teams. And I think I remember him saying once, every tag team he's been in has won tag titles. Like, that's it. That's, I know Rakshani have a lot of chemistry. You know, their gear. They match.
Exactly.
They have the a team.
Banging team song.
Yeah.
And look at the results. You know what I mean? That just goes to show. It's all
even
about
drink the same drinks.
Like. Yeah, exactly. It's all about the chemistry.
But, yeah, I don't know. I think they will edge this one out, but I think it'll be difficult. Because, like, it's someone they're not familiar with. Someone they haven't been in the ring with before. So I think, yeah. I think it'll be a good one.
Corporate Keane, is the chemistry enough to keep the Irish tag team titles?
Yeah, I'm confident it is. I think they're the tag team champions for a reason. I think it shows they're the best tag team in Fight Factory right now. And I think if you're coming in to beat Club Rock Shandy, you have to be at the absolute top of your game. Mm. And I'm not saying that Julian Pace and Jay Skiller aren't, but I just don't think they'll have what it takes to beat Club Rock Shandy for the titles. You know what I mean? Yeah. We've seen what Club Rock Shandy will do to win those titles, and now we're going to see what they'll do to retain them.
It's like this. I don't know. I can't pick a winner. It's toss a coin. Like, is it? It's a lot to ask of Club Rock Shandy so early into their reign. I hope they win. I'm biased, I know, but like, I'm GM.
Yeah, he's biased. Be a professional.
I'm GM. I get to have personal opinions, but then I step out of it. They asked for this match, I gave it to them. I hope the Irish tag team title stay in Ireland. I'm just saying, the Irish junior heavyweight title is also on the line. Speaking of biting off more than you can chew, this is tough. Flamboyant Fabio faces the snake Sammy D. Here's the thing. We've seen it over the past few shows, particularly in Fight Factory. If you've seen Sammy D over the past few shows, he is motivated again. He is back into his groove, and he is feeling it in the ring. And here's the problem for everyone else when Sammy D is in this mode. Like, everyone wanted to see Amy Alonzi win the last show. They were like, this is our moment. This is our time. It's going to be great. We get a feel-good moment against the evil Sammy D. Sammy D didn't give a fuck about your moments. He doesn't care. That's the point. That's what makes him so effective, and that's what I think drives his focus. He's managed to totally mute the crowd in his own mind and do whatever the fuck he wants. And the problem is, he's one of the best, most talented wrestlers in the history of this country. He's got one of the most raw talent. I remember we interviewed Finn Balor just before he got signed in WWE, and I asked him to name me one wrestler in Irish wrestling that we should keep an eye on. One person. This is pre-OTT, remember, okay? So one person that he's looking at, and he's like, they've got it. Who did he name? He named Sammy D. Okay, that's how good this guy is. That's how good this guy is. Flamboyant Fabio has earned his Irish Junior Heavyweight Championship. Nobody can argue with that. Like, think of all he's gone through in the past year. Think of the tournament last year, the Super 8s tournament. Think of that. Think of, like, him building himself up, finally getting the big win in the six-way a few shows ago, and then having to go back to the ground, like having to overcome, at such a young age as well, having to overcome the disappointment of having his belt taken away in seconds by LJ Cleary, having to rebuild himself back up and re-win the tag team titles in one of the best and one of the best matches in Fight Factory history at episode 12. He has earned his title shot. He's not going into this the favorite for me. Sammy is the favorite, I have to say. Like, again, it's a match that Sammy asked for. Fabio is happy to accept. He wants to be a fighting champion. It may be another short reign.
Yeah, I'd be worried for Fabio in this one. Like, Sammy is the first ever junior heavyweight champion. Yes. He's been around, like, I think he's the most underrated wrestler in the country. I think he's one of the best that I've ever seen in the ring. And I think Fabio is in a little bit of trouble, and I'm not sure he realizes that yet.
Yeah, it's gonna be rough. Corporate Keane, who have you got in this one?
I know it was a feel good moment when Fabio won the titles with Rock Shandy, and I don't want it to be cut short in my heart, but in my head, you know, Sammy D, he has the experience, he has the talent. I think Fabio might be underestimating him, which is a mad thing to do when you're, you know, standing across from Sammy D. I'm going to go with Sammy D. But again, yeah, it's not a real close. There's a lot of close matches on this this card. But yeah, I'm going to go Sammy D.
I'd love to be wrong, but I just don't feel that I am, unfortunately. Anyway, guys, it's going to be a hell of a show, whatever happens. A lot of close matches. I think, like, I'm going to, like, see if I can put out an AKA at the weekend and stuff. If you guys want to, like, try pick all of them, because I think it's going to be one of those shows. Try pick all the winners from this one. I'm not sure you will. It's going to be very exciting. That is this Sunday, Lousy Smarts Weather, episode 30, Jerview Tall Doors from 3:30. Nice early show. It's 5 minutes around the corner from Connolly State. A legitimate 5 minute walk. So check it out. It's going to be absolutely class. Katie, you're gonna be there.
I will be there. I should be wrestling. Hopefully, do you have something for me?
No, I'm just saying. I don't.
Isn't the gas how Rick just didn't bother booking you? Like, that is just gas.
Like, you know, there's a lot of people fighting for places, you know what I mean?
And he just didn't think you were good enough. He just was like, no, okay, he's not good
it's
enough.
It's just we have nothing for you at this time.
Oh, that's great.
I mean, wouldn't you rather if he just came out and was like, you're shite? I think it would hurt less. You
I'm
know
on
I mean?
A winning streak in Fight Factory.
Yeah, why isn't she booked?
How do you know that she's not? How do you know I'm not keeping it a surprise?
I mean, you're making the junior heavyweight match a triple threat. Gotcha.
I can confirm it's not that.
Katie's face. I know it's good to see Katie's face, but it was like all the happiness and joy that got sucked straight out of her one sentence.
Oh, he's not even entertaining this joke.
it's not true, right? No.
Oh my god.
Can I join the mid-card mafia?
I thought you were going to say, can you join the merge table? And I was going to say, yes, you can.
Me and my numerical dyslexia.
Actually, no.
That'd be really funny. Imagine like wrestlers getting screwed out of merch and all that. Like, oh, that'd be really funny.
Now you're not even booked on the merch table. So I don't know. Find out what Katie Harvey does. She will be present in the Sheriff of Utah. Corbett Keane, any new videos on the horizon?
I've a video from RTE News Now, which says U.S. Senate acquits President Donald Trump on both charges of impeachment, abuse of power, and obstruction of Congress. So that's going to be the title of my video. I think that's going to get loads of views. It's not going to be related to it whatsoever. But I have a video coming up hopefully on Monday. You'll see it.
Okay, excellent. Check it out. Corporate Keane, subscribe on YouTube, guys. That's all the time we have for. We'll be back with a very special one-off edition of Ask Low Blows. With the week that's in it, we've decided to make it a general election special. Talk through some of the issues and see if we can help you guys. Because a lot of people don't know where to vote. They don't know where to put their... They don't know which way to go. God help you. Just listen to us so we may influence you some way or another. We're going to try to talk them through and see if that can help kind of work the cogs in your brain anyway. We'll probably just end up rowing, me and Corporate Keane. Let's call it a space.
Oh my god. No. Oh.
Right. Okay. It's going to be exciting. Check that out on Friday, guys. But until then, that's all for this week. We'll be back next week talking about Fight Factory and all the rest of the week. Jordan on NXT. It's going to be a huge week in wrestling. There's going to be a lot to talk about, and we'll be back to cover it all. So until then, for Corporate Key, for Katie Harvey, I've been Rick Nash, and that's the bottom line. Because Loblo said so.